Hi, this is Brad Foreman, live from Lobuche, Nepal. It's snowing right now, and it's the middle of April. Matter of fact, it's April 17th, and I'm at 16,100 feet plus above sea level. Today's day 14 of my Everest expedition, season 4. Episode 52. Boy, this has really been exciting here in Nepal. There's never a dull moment. Lobuche is a town we've been staying in. This will be our second night, and it is the last town before Everest Base Camp. I'm really excited about hitting base camp. We've heard so much about it. They've been preparing base camp for weeks and weeks. As a matter of fact, today we just heard they flew in several helicopter loads of provisions for our arrival. So it's never a dull moment out here. Thanks for listening to Peaks Podcast. I've initiated this podcast to educate everybody on what it's like to be on a big mountain expedition. Also to incentivize listeners to get out and explore themselves. You know, there's a whole adventure waiting for you out the door, as I've found here in Lobuche. So let me give you a brief description of what's going on here in Lobuche. It's known for the highest bakery. It's above tree line. There are glaciers all around me, and 7,000 meter peaks surrounding me. So it's definitely one of the most picturesque spots in the planet. You can choose to do a podcast from. I'm sitting out in about 100 yards from my eco lodge that we're staying at, and it's a high elevation tundra. So basically it's all rock debris that's been carried down by this glacier. The actual glacier pile might be 300 feet high, and it's about 100 yards away from me, and it's a big ridge, and this ridge is buried with rock, and underneath it is the glacier, and that glacier pushes down through the valley and formed the valley originally. And we're going to talk more about the Kumba weather and such a little bit. So these high peaks surround us. What I'm told is we have about a 5-hour hike up valley to the north to our base camp. We've been hearing various rumors, and I'm not going to say too much about it on this podcast. I'll follow up after I know the exact facts. But we have been hearing rumors from base camp that are a little unsettling. You know, we're in the midst of a pandemic. Season 3 was all about that pandemic. I basically had a 1-year delay on my Everest expedition because of the crazy pandemic. So we're taking a lot of precautions. Of interest in the Eco Lodge here in Lobuche, we ran into our first group, many tourists. We had about 30, 40 tourists in there yesterday. The most I've seen the whole expedition. So this caused a little bit of concern. We do not, I repeat, do not want contact with outsiders that might not have been vaccinated. Before I continue, in the background you're going to hear a helicopter. That helicopter's bringing supplies every half hour, 20 minutes. Choppers come up and down the valley bringing supplies to base camp. Hear that in the background? The tourist season for Everest climbing is underway. We understand there's 200 some permits, and we'll find out more tomorrow. And the Everest base camp, from what I understand, is bustling with activity. The anticipation is so exciting. After 2 full years, I'm going to be back at base camp. I visited it back in 2010 with my Colorado climbing buddies, and I'm interested to see how it's changed. Since 2010, there was the big earthquake and the avalanche, so I understand that they've moved base camp down the valley a little bit, so it's out of harm's way. Out of harm's way, meaning they won't get buried in an avalanche. So, also of interest, on our hike up valley to Lobos yesterday, we passed a sacred memorial. This sacred memorial is interesting in many ways. It is a memorial where people build these rock structures with prayer flags and plaques to fallen climbers, climbers of various stature in the climbing world, from Scott Fisher through to many Sherpa, famous Sherpas that have died. So it's a real sobering visit that we all walked around, and you know, it's a reminder that even the strongest, the best of the best, need to pay attention up here on Everest. The shrines were probably 20 feet high, some 10 feet high, depending, and prayer flags covering them, and then the individual plaques usually put there, from what I understand, by family members and friends to memorialize their lives in the mountains. It's very interesting because, to me, you know, it was, as I said, a sobering reminder of, you know, to pay attention up here. I've saw a couple people that literally were shaken. I mean shaken by the whole event, and seeing these memorials, you know, it really hit home and got them quite nervous. So it affects people in different ways, and in most of the mountains around the world, I've seen various graveyards in Aconcagua, down in Zermatt at the base of the Matterhorn, and they're important, I think, very important, to keep a balance between, you know, safety and taking unnecessary risks in the mountains. You know, it's not the summit, it's the return that's important. It's the return. Today I had a talk with my daughter, and it just reminded me how important it is that I exercise all the safety measures. You know, sometimes they seem redundant, extra cautious, and then I remind myself that's why I have the best guides in the world surrounding me, and I better darn well pay attention to what they say, so I can celebrate when I get back with my family and friends. So, Lobos. There's only about 20 structures here. It's small. It's way up. You know, 16,000 feet is higher than some of the seven summits. There's not much up here. They burn yak dung to fuel the fire for heat. They collect water from the snow. We had a couple inches of snow yesterday, as a matter of fact. So they'll collect that, and then the glacial runoff, they collect that. Everything we do up here has to be purified for drinking, that is, and washing and cleaning. They have random yaks walking around, dogs that are kind of feral dogs that inhabit the various towns that grab a bite to eat wherever they can get it, I guess. It's borderline sad in some instances. But that's life in the high, high mountains. This place is coming back to life with the tourism. Oh, here comes the chopper. Another one returning down mountain. Every time I hear a chopper, it produces goosebumps on the back of my neck, because I know they're bringing supplies up to base camp or bringing people out, and who knows the different stories. But we'll be knowing them much better tomorrow. So, what do we do today? We got a little special glimpse of something unique. We did an acclimatization hike, just a small one, up to the Italian research station. Okay. This Italian research station looked like something out of the Jetson space age type structure. It's a pyramid glass structure, completely covered with solar panels, and it sits way back in a back canyon with a glacier rising up above it. And I'll have pictures on my website, www.peakspodcast.rocks, at the conclusion of my expedition. So check that out, because it's super cool. So they have scientists there year-round that are studying weather. Regarding weather, it would be winds, temperature change. They've been there since 2006, and they rely on, you know, funding for their meteorology studies. They're studying the winds up here, and according to our guide, they have noticed a warming trend of a couple degrees since they've established their research station. They also study the glaciers and their movement, and they have receded, they claim, up to a meter a year, the particular glacier, the Kumba Glacier here. So that's not going to impact our life, my lifetime, but it'll impact generations to come. So they are documenting that. And lastly, and of interest to me, was they do studies of the earthquake, seismology. And they, as a matter of fact, they just found an earthquake that had happened recently to the east of here on the border of Nepal and Bhutan. Earthquakes up here, we're right on a fault line in the Himalaya here, and so they can be very concerning. So their study, they can't predict them, as you probably can guess, but, you know, their studies will probably lead to better abilities to predict in the future, and perhaps even save lives. So that's pretty cool that they're doing that, and they've invested in that, and it's quite a facility. They've told us that they have substations right down the Kumba Valley, so they're doing checks and analysis of different readings throughout the Kumba, not just way, way up here at 16,000 plus feet above sea level. So that's interesting. I'm glad we made that stop. It was an unexpected surprise. It wasn't on our agenda, but I found it of value, great value. So now we're in a whole different setup with bathrooms. I'll tell you a little bit about that. We're basically, most of them are just holes in the ground, and you have a bassinette of water and a trash can by your side. And after you do your duty, you take a pitcher of water and pour it into the hole, thus cleansing it out. No toilet paper in the hole. You put that in the bassinet, trash can, excuse me. And so that's kind of how things work up here. They are all on, obviously, a septic. There's no plumbing or anything like that. So they all are very concerned about putting only human waste down the toilet. We also have a device up here. It's a parabolic dish, and this dish is made of metallic, shiny material, which focuses all the sunlight on a stand in the middle of the dish. So imagine this dish pointed up at the sun with an arm in the middle that holds the a big pot of water. The sun's so intense up here, it focuses all that energy from the sun on the big kettle of water and actually boils the water. So to supplement their heating of water and foods, they use that. Quite ingenious. I mean, it's a necessity up here because the life's very hard. Ingenious to survive at such elevations. Right now, there's some trekkers going by. I don't know whether they look like just trekkers. And there's not many trekkers. So there's a division. There's two classifications up here. There's the trekkers, which usually outnumber the climbers. Far outnumber. I don't know what the ratio is, but it's huge. And this year, though, the climbers are much closer to the number of trekkers because of the limitations for visas, airlines, and the whole pandemic. Okay, here's our third helicopter coming over. So since I've been doing this podcast, about 20 different trekkers have come down and up the valley, along with the third helicopter. They also, besides shuttling supplies, they use those for medical emergencies, which I'm certain there's several that occur up here and that we've heard of. We're taking a lot of precautions. We've had discussions about the different precautions, hydrating all the way up. And we're really taking our time. You know, this is relatively in the beginning, the first portion of our trip, day 14, you know, we're here for 2 months. So we have a whole bunch of time planned to acclimatize, and we're going to use every day of it. That's pretty much one of the most important aspects of this. And then we need some good luck with Mother Nature. Anyhow, Peaks Podcast and myself are very happy to have you listening. You can find us on any of the prominent podcast platforms. Please make comments, share with your friends and family. We'd love to hear your feedback. And remember, get out there and enjoy the outdoors. It's a wonderful, wonderful wilderness out there, and hopefully you're enjoying this fourth season Everest Expedition podcast. Have a great day.